So Lord, just thank you for just the beautiful gift of your word. Lord, will you give us the ears to hear what you want to say to us this morning? And will you soften our hearts that we can be transformed and formed together through your word? In Jesus' name, amen. So last Tuesday, it feels like ages ago. This has been a really long week. Last Tuesday, we took the kids to this games and brunch thing that they had at Admaston House that was organized by Sharon Johnson. A lot of you know Sharon. And at the end, she got a group of kids, and she just handed them this bundle of sticks that were all tied together. And she asked them each, try to break these sticks. You know, so of course they were all trying, and none of them could do it. And then she undoes the bundle and hands each kid just one of the sticks, and then asks them to break their stick. And so it's real easy. With just one stick, they all did it. And then she just tells them, just look at how much stronger we are together than when we're on our own. And I just thought that was a really good visual lesson. And it goes really well with our reading from Ecclesiastes. So it says, like, you know, a threefold cord is not quickly broken. And two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up. Now, we all need one another. We need community. And that's why I'm really, really thankful that part of Jesus' salvation plan was to build his church. Now, that's kind of a loaded word, I think, church. Because church isn't necessarily a service that you go to, like this. And honestly, it kind of makes me cringe a little bit when I hear people say, are you going to church on Sunday? Because I just kind of want to say, well, do you mean, am I going to a worship service where the church gathers on Sunday? Then yeah. Because church is so much bigger than a service that you go to on a Sunday. And church is certainly not a building. Not that this isn't important or this isn't important, but it's not church. The church is the community that Jesus is building. The community of people who have one thing in common, that I can think of anyways, is that we recognize that we are broken, sinful people who are capable of doing some pretty awful stuff. But through Jesus, we've been redeemed and invited into the community of the triune God. You know, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Because God is community. There's this Greek word that I'm just about to butcher that was used by the early church to describe the Trinity. It is perichoresis. So peri, meaning circle. Choreo, however you say it, means to go or come. It's this image of a circular dance where the Father sins and glorifies the Son. But then at the same time, the Son is always glorifying the Father. And then the Father, he sends the Holy Spirit who glorifies the Son, who is always glorifying the Father. It's this eternal dance of the triune God that is constantly lifting and elevating the other. This is how I dance, don't you? But that's the type of community that we've been called to join. Because God is a God of community, and we've been created in that image. And one of my favorite parts of the Bible, we read this at Ecumenical Prayers this week. It's from Philippians chapter 2. Which paints, I think, a really good picture of how this communal God spurs his communal church towards reflecting his image. It says, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. And have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. So therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I just really like that passage. But now I used to read the stories of the Apostle Paul, in our second reading. And I just imagine him as being just this brave missionary that went into all these hostile places all on his own and just proclaiming the gospel and getting himself into trouble. Because I came over as a missionary, so he's kind of a hero, and that's why I came to this hostile place. And actually, most of that about Paul is true, but he rarely, if ever, traveled alone. In the few verses just before our reading from Acts, it talks about how Paul was in Corinth, where he had met and stayed with a couple named Aquila and Priscilla. And he was met there by his friends Silas and Timothy, and there they all eventually stayed with this man named Titus Justus. Then Paul got into a bit of trouble for talking about Jesus, as it usually happened. And so, and then this is where our reading picks up, is right after all that stuff happened. And talks about how Paul leaves Timothy and Silas and the rest of the church in Corinth, and he heads to Ephesus with Aquila and Priscilla. And then he leaves them in Ephesus as he heads to Antioch, where he's greeted by the church there. And it doesn't always mention who was traveling with Paul, but it's believed he rarely made these trips on his own. Sometimes he even traveled with as many as 30 people with him. And like Aquila and Priscilla, Paul took people along with him as he carried out his ministry to disciple them, to teach and show them the realities of the kingdom of God, and to teach them about the truths of Jesus. But I also think that Paul might have taken people with him because he needed them. So it goes back to this perichoresis thing, where Paul is elevating these people by leading them towards the kingdom work, and they would be there to elevate, support, and encourage Paul. Because I'm not convinced that Paul's ministry would have lasted had he not had that encouragement and support of others. I mean, the guy was beaten how many times, arrested how many times, like he's almost killed in a storm. He needed a community around him. And Aquila and Priscilla carried on in this manner in the rest of our Acts reading. So they were left in Ephesus while Paul was off to Antioch. And they meet this guy named Apollos. Apollos traveled from Alexandria to Ephesus to tell people about Jesus. And our reading makes it sound like Apollos was determined to tell people about Jesus, and he knew quite a bit about Jesus, but his knowledge was still lacking. It says he spoke and taught accurately the things concerning Jesus, though he knew only the baptism of John. I'm not really sure what that means. I'm kind of guessing here. I read some commentary, and they kind of guessed too, the best I can make the sense of it. But I think maybe it's just he wasn't aware of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, being baptized in the Holy Spirit. But Aquila and Priscilla taught him more accurately. And when Apollos was ready to move onto the next city to tell people about Jesus, they wrote a letter to the disciples that were already there, asking them to welcome him in. And they do. And things go great for him while he's there. And that's how the message of the kingdom of God just goes on and on and on in this way. It's never done alone. Even like through Jesus' ministry, when he called 12 people to join him, and when he sends out the 12, he doesn't send them out on their own, he sends out the 72 people who were following him, he sends them all out two by two. He rarely traveled alone, and he never sent people out on their own. So we need each other. The body of Christ, as the community of Christ, there should be no reason that any of us should be suffering alone. And one thing that's really hard to watch is when Someone from the church is hurting or struggling and just going through a really hard time, and they feel they need to keep it to themselves. They don't want to burden anyone else. And I get it. I mean, sometimes it can be really hard to admit when you need help. It can be embarrassing. I mean, because you are making yourself become very vulnerable. It can make you feel weak and shameful. But at the same time, wouldn't you just love to see the church be the church? A community of people who will go the extra mile to ensure no one is going through their struggle alone. And I honestly think that All Saints has a pretty good track record and plenty of people who do go out of their way to support and encourage and build others up. But if you are one of those who are suffering alone, I hope you'll see that God has placed you amongst the community of people who are ready to walk with you, to support you, encourage you, to build you up. Because that's what this community has been created to do. So please don't feel that you ever have to suffer alone. Find someone that you can just trust, that you can talk to, and let us be the church and walk with you in your suffering. So there's one last thing that just kind of came to my mind just yesterday. When thinking about how Jesus sent out his disciples two by two. We need to pray for Wellington. Well, we need to pray for lots of places, I know. But many of us are planted in Wellington, and we have a responsibility for this place. And it's been a while since we've done this, but I'm going to organize about an hour-long just prayer walk around Wellington. Because I've had some conversations over the past week or two with some, and people are scared out there. Like, I'm thinking of businesses in particular. There are several business owners who are just, they're worried. They're not going to make it through this winter. And so this town might look drastically different a year from now if things continue as they are. So I haven't set a date, so keep an eye out in your emails, because I'll send just a mass email and invite you all. And we'll sort out a time when we can come together and just spend some time praying for this town. And even if the thought of doing that is scary, we'll be walking together. Maybe not two by two. It might be three by three, four by fours. We'll see. And don't feel like you have to just pray out loud. It's not street evangelism. If you just want to pray quietly in your mind, that's fine too. God hears it all. But so keep an eye out in your emails for that, if that's something that you feel like you want to be a part of. Let me pray real quick as the musicians make their way up. So, Lord, thank you for this community. Thank you for that you are community. And you are stirring in us just this desire and this longing to be in what you've called us to be, a community. So, Lord, we lift up this town. Thank you for planting us here. Thank you that we do have see so many people who are very generous and work very hard to help just create this town in a way that will allow everyone here to thrive. But, Lord, you've placed us here too. And so will you make us more aware of how you are at work in and through us, to play our part to help shape this town to look more like your kingdom. Amen.